All right, we are here, we are Galexis, and welcome. Welcome. It is a pleasure to speak with you today. A powerful month, a powerful time, a pivotal time. On the planet, a pivotal time for you. And so we return to a theme that has been with you from the very beginning of your experience on planet Earth or in the physical plane. You see, you chose to come here. Your souls wanted adventure. And in the universe, and in many universes, they're wondrous adventures. And your soul came to want to experience the human experience, a human lifetime. You wanted to experience physicality. You might even say that in a sense you came from far, far away, drawn by excitement, enthusiasm, the thrill of adventure, a desire to explore, to tap into your creative potential. Yes, some of you came because you love learning, and this looked like a wonderful place to learn, a place where there was time so that you could really experience everything in a hurry, that you could experience being away from knowing the fullness of yourself, for you to experience all sorts of emotions, dark as well as light, for you to discover what it was like to create from scratch. You see, before you descended into the lower vibrations that you have experienced currently, you knew who you were. You were learning how to create and manifest all sorts of great things. You didn't have to come, but you thought how intriguing it would be to not know who you are, to not know the divine. How intriguing it would be to find who you are as an individual, to find in an absolute isolated identity, specific and unique to you. Oh, that sounds fascinating. That must be a lot of fun. And from that position of being that total unique you, to then create and learn how to create using the tools that you have, the tools of your thought, the tools of your feeling, of your desire, of your orientation, how to work with the energies, work with what you have as part of your gift of soul and spirit, to craft something for yourself, to create something for yourself, and discover your uniqueness, expressing it as a way of coming to a fullness of who you are. And then you thought, how fun that will be. And then I will return. I will return home to where I know who I am and all my glory, and I will return. But I will have had this wonderful experience, the wonderful experience of just being me. Whatever that is, that sounds so fascinating. I will have had that experience. And you took upon yourself the job of shifting down energetically so that you could handle these vibrations where the connections to the divine became weaker and weaker, where the energy to enliven soul and spirit, to be able to feel a life, was reduced to its minimal amount. so that you could take on a physical body and feel what the senses are like. In higher dimensions and levels, you don't have the senses like you have here. Admittedly, some of you are like just fascinated with sex. And some of you still are. But it just is so sensual. What does that... My, it's so intense. This sensuality. That must be quite an experience. So you descended gradually, letting go of your greatness, letting go of your connection to your light, connection to your spiritual family, connection to the divine, connection to the oneness, so that you could separate yourself, so that you could focus on your identity, on your uniqueness. And you set up certain patterns for you to explore, certain themes. Every lifetime has its themes. You'll notice throughout your life you have certain themes that you return to again and again. Certain issues that you work on that are actually part of you seeking to fulfill and to experience the beauty and the magnificence of your theme. For example, some people's theme is independence. Some people's theme is adventure. Some people's theme is creativity. Some people's theme is love and bonding. Some people's theme is relationships, deep and rich. Some people's theme is manifesting interesting realities. All sorts of themes. You have one or more that you wanted to explore, and you came headlong into physical life, only to discover that you also had created and co-created a culture which would give you certain beliefs and ideas and certain ways of doing things until you had grown up yourself and could consciously and deliberately choose what you wanted to feel, what you wanted to think, what you wanted to believe, what you wanted to know, what you wanted to do, and how you wanted to do it. But in those gifts were many resistances, many programs of shame and pain, hurt, damage, rage, and powerlessness. And according to your particular theme, you've had to deal with the particular limitations to that full and rich experience. Because you wanted to come and you wanted to experience pain. Yes, you did. You wanted to experience everything, the whole range. You wanted to experience unhappiness, loneliness, and sadness. Not quite as much as you have experienced, but then your culture reinforced it, reinforced your staying in the darker places. So you began a journey to work your way out of the darker places, to let go of these quote-unquote gifts of limiting thought and feeling that you were given. It was part of the journey you wanted. It got kind of hard and unpleasant, but it was what you wanted. And you wanted this life to be temporary. You didn't want to come down and have a life that went on forever and ever and ever. If you'd wanted a really, really long life, you probably have experienced this, you would have incarnated on other planets. There are other planets where your lifetime, normal lifetime lengths are 2,000-3,000 years. And it gives you plenty of time to dabble, to be the dilettante, to play with this, to play with that, to figure this out. Plenty of time. But no, you wanted to come to Earth. You wanted it more concentrated. It was much more exciting that way. You wanted more drama. You got it. Right? However, in the back of your mind was always the knowing that this is temporary. My life does not live forever. I'm going to just experience this body and what this body gives me and experience this particular lifetime experience. I'm going to get into this whole theme and I'm going to work on this theme and I'm going to give back to others. I'm going to interact with others. I'm going to have adventures. But I'm going to go back home when I'm done, when I get it, when I get that uniqueness, when I really, really feel the fullness of me and I've got enough. I don't have to do every single thing, but if I just haven't, there's a certain amount of experience I want, and once I get it, I want to come back home. I want to come back home to the divine, where I know who I am again, as the greater me, where I'm connected into the oneness, and I know that all are one and one is all. And I can bring my uniqueness back to the oneness. And indeed, as I rejoin that oneness, when I come back into union with the divine, it will be me, the distinct me, giving of who I am to the oneness. I, part of the divine, will grow up one unique piece of divine thought, of divine intention. And I will fulfill that intention, that thought, in who I am, and bring it back to the whole. In essence, you are particles, sparks, of God, Goddess, all that is, who, seeking to discover the greatness of you in your own way, will rejoin in divine union as the uniqueness, the fully developed you, so that God, Goddess, all that is, the divine, can also grow. You are the lens through which the divine experiences all sorts of wonderful things. You are that part of them, just as you would take a class and learn about something, and that teacher would teach you, and you would learn something and it would become part of you. So are you part of the divine, and what you learn and what you experience becomes part of the whole. And because you are unique, you will approach what your life experience is from a unique perspective. You are essentially growing God, Goddess, all that is. God, Goddess, all that is. The divine is becoming greater and greater because of your learning and your education, your experience. The divine is learning through you, experiencing through you. And when you return, it becomes one with the divine. You do not lose your individuality. You gift it, you provide it, you share it, but in a network of belonging, of greater love, divine love, full and complete you are. This is your journey. And by being born at this particular space and time, by being here now, at the particular age you are, the gender that you have chosen, you are in the most fortuitous position, building upon many lifetimes of experience, to come to this lifetime, what we call a homeward bound lifetime, a homegoer lifetime. You, a homegoer. You have come down, you've learned, you've gotten pretty much enough. Many of you yearn to return. Many of you are tired, world weary, but you're not quite done. It is our joy to work with you and support you in this most beautiful and most noble and grand adventures. The adventure of returning, remembering who you are, putting back on the greatness that you dropped off in order to experience the bottom, to experience the ultimate darkness, the ultimate separation from the divine, so that you could find that unique you, you could individualize you. And now that you have claimed your individuality, to put back on the greater knowing, the greater awareness that you dropped before. Because now, it's not going to distract you. It's not going to take away from you the awareness of your individuation, but merely add to it. This is the good part. All of you have done the worst part. All of you have done all the hard stuff. Now, you're in the fun stuff. The fun stuff is the return. Yes, you came into the lifetime still with issues and themes you wanted to play with. That doesn't mean, though, that you're a beginner. You're not. You've been doing this quite a while. You're pretty sophisticated now. And you have felt the call to return. It's becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. The call to return to the divine. To return to the greater self that you were. But with this new awareness. With this new power of you. So you find yourself on a homegoing lifetime. Most people have 3 or 4 homegoing lifetimes. An example of a homegoing lifetime is someone who really gets into religion. Not in a social context so much, but more the mystic side of it. Because that's the beginning of the return home. The one meditators in ashrams and in abbeys and all the monks and so on, to go out and live a life of prayer. All that was part of beginning your path home, getting you home. This lifetime is an opportunity so rare because of the time on the planet that you came specifically to get information to enable you to finish your homegoing journeys. Was in essence, to take who you are and the knowledge of that, to step beyond and to heal those issues so that you can move into realizing those themes that you want to do in your lifetime, to experience those themes. Your unique theme for this particular lifetime. And then also, if you choose, we call it an elective, like when you go for a degree. There are courses you can take if you want to, but they're not part of your degree program. Your degree program, so to speak, as a soul, is to find out who you are. And you are learning that more and more, that you're a divine being having a physical body experience. And that your future is to return home. You're learning that. An elective you might want to add. Your choice. There's no demerits, there's no punishments, no penalties if you do not do it. But part of your being here now is because you'd really like to, and you want to have the opportunity to do it. And that is what we call your second mission. The first mission to figure out who you are. The second mission is to give something to the planet, to give something to others. To the plants, the animals, the people, to cultures, to nature. To gift something of yourself, to express something that is for you. And the major gift that you have to give, the major key to your homegoing, the foundation of a homegoing lifetime, is a learning of love, how to love. How to be love, how to love others, how to receive love from others. Love is the foundation of the homegoing lives. So many people, they work with it initially by saying, okay, the love of God, the devotion to. Devotional paths are beautiful, both in the East and the West. But in a devotional path, very often that devotion is from an orientation as if you're a child and the divine is some parent figure. When you get to a homegoing lifetime, your third or fourth, and the real option is there for you to complete the cycles of birth and death, to complete all your experimentation, to complete the adventures on the planet, it's not going to be about your karmas. Karmas are a kind of an organizational, educational system for those who are more, what we would say, beginning their homegoing journey. But those of you who are here listening to us now, you don't need to think about or be concerned about karma, because you have done all of that. You have learned as a child through devotion. You have learned the rules as an adolescent, spiritual adolescent. The karma is all about adolescence. You know, this is the rules and this is, you know, the rewards and punishments, and you have to, you know, control your behavior and do good. We're not knocking it. Even Western religions talking about doing good for others, being good people, is still on that level of karma. It's still an adolescent level. But what you are experiencing, you're experiencing the option of coming as a spiritual adult, as an adult soul to your homeward journey. And indeed, you are not making it back all the way to the divine by seeing yourself as some child, or seeing that you must follow some rules and behave correctly, or that you do such good works that you gain points. That's not the point of you doing it. That's not the purpose of you gifting back and sharing with your world who you are. The purpose of that is to express the love that is now flowing out of you at greater and greater amounts, to share that love, to share that kindness, that love with others. But it doesn't end there. Sharing love with others is wonderful. It feels really good, especially when you utilize your gifts, your talents, express the unique you that's in there with passion, with love, really caring, real strength of being, where it really comes in is as you step into that spiritual adult, to love the divine, to love all as one, to see the oneness, to experience the oneness. This is indeed on the physical plane, on the earth level, on the lifetime experience, where you get that hit, that connection, that taste, that touch, that link to the divine. This is to know that you and all creatures, great and small, are made of the same divine substance as you. To love and honor and respect them all. To allow yourself to step outside the codes of behavior. To step into the truth and integrity of love. The law of love rather than the laws of man. The laws of love are the divine laws. And indeed, they're really not even laws. They're choices, we'd say. You know, if you're thinking about, well, you know, One of the things that came down as far as really great laws, great rules to live by, the Ten Commandments. We would say the Ten Commandments were just, and comedians have made a comment of this, they're really just suggestions. So it was the Ten Suggestions, right? But the people that these suggestions were being given to were still children spiritually. They had no clue what it meant to be an adult, spiritually speaking. They didn't know what it meant to be an adult emotionally. They didn't even know how to be conscious, really. There have been very few beings over the millennium, the past thousands of years, who history has recorded as being fully conscious. These are the great spiritual teachers. That they were conscious. And they knew how to think, like you do today. You are conscious. You're more conscious than people were 100 years ago. This consciousness that you have been developing, this conscious mind that you are aware of, is the part of you that is making the choice to love and the choice to return. Love. There are levels of love. There's levels of power. There's levels of freedom. And then there is trust. Trusting the divine plan. Trusting that you are indeed returning. You're not here to be abandoned. There's no lack of purpose here. But your purpose is not to be obedient and dutiful and follow the rules. That's not your purpose. You have grown beyond that. Your purpose isn't to balance your karmas, to discharge bad karma through good acts and to build good karma. No, you're beyond that. You've grown past that. What you're doing here is you're moving into the law of love, where your choice is to love, starting with yourself, and then to love others around you, your special ones, then to expand this circle of love, this sphere of love, out to include plants, animals, other people, to expand it out to include other cultures, to include your so-called enemies, to expand this love out, way, way out, to include your world. But as an adult, you cannot define love as a child. For a child, love is obedience. You're beyond that. For an adolescent, love is submission and service. And to the young adult stage, service, dedication and service, self-submission to the divine and serving. That's where you found value in the adolescent and young adult stages of your spiritual development. But as an adult, your focus is instead to love as an equal. Now, this may seem heretical, to love the divine as an equal. And you may feel resistant to loving animals as equals or plants as equals. But that's the way you approach it when you become a spiritual adult. Love is a different function. It's not that in order to experience love, you've got to sacrifice anything. You've got to pay a price. And there's no prices to pay now. It doesn't mean also that you have to go out there and grab love, that you have to manipulate love. No, no, that's the old system of trying to get. You're at a stage where it's time for you to learn about receiving, how to receive love, And you receive love in various forms. From your reality, you receive it in forms of manifestation. You can receive love in the form of money, yes, relationships, friendships, opportunities, creativity, ideas, intuition, healing, inspiration. You can receive many ways. As an adult, you receive as an adult. You are not thereby all of a sudden owing anybody anything. There's no debt. Okay? You receive freely and you give freely. And here's where trust comes in. We were mentioning power, love, freedom, and trust. Trust comes in knowing that if you give freely, not sacrificing, but giving from your love, from your heart, that you will receive also. You will receive love in its various forms. And to trust that this is the way it is. This is the way it always is. To trust that you will not only survive, but survive well. Be happy. Be whole. Be complete in yourself. Feel the fulfillment. Feel the joy. So your journey home is essentially about taking your power as an adult in your world and in your relationship with the divine and your relationship with all things. Secondly, to honor the freedom to be you. There's no other like you. It's like there's no identical snowflakes. You are unique, and this is what you came for, to experience. The freedom you want to have is the freedom with the power to make choices for you to live your life as who you are, according to your temperament, according to your nature. There's so many people who try really hard to be type A workaholic personalities who are temperamentally not suited for that type of high energy push drive. And those of you who try to do that who are not naturally there, you burn out. It's difficult. You lose energy. And in your culture, people look at you, cluck their tongues, oh, you failed. You're just not good enough. You have to rise above all of that to recognize, no, you are good enough. You are unique, and you need to find what it is that works for you. Financially, relationship-wise, emotionally, spiritually, lifestyle. You've got to find you. And that's why it's so fantastic that you're here now, at this day and age, at this place. Because all the opportunities, all the possibilities are available for you to be able to do this. You're not inhibited by culture like you used to be, where you could only grow up and you had to be just like your parents. A woman had to do this, a man had to do that, and the man's occupation had to be at his father's occupation, and it was in the family, and that was the way it was, and the woman had to do this and had to be subservient in this way, and she had to take care of the kids this particular way, and she had to relate to her in-laws this particular way, the whole rules, all that. You have the freedom to choose your lifestyle, who you spend your time with, and how you give to others, and how you receive. This is a powerful, pivotal time. And what people have been looking for to have 2012 deliver up for them has been ascension, has been illumination, enlightenment. Well, dear ones, it's here. It's been here. It's only for you to claim the freedom to be you. and to trust that this is your plan. You set it up before you came here. And you're on your program. You're on your plan. Your plan is to return. You're on a homegoing lifetime. This could be it. It's got to be your choice. You can choose that this is your last lifetime. But you don't want to leave birth and death. You don't want to leave physical plane reality because you're tired of it, because it drains you, because you're a victim of it, because it's so dark and dense and unpleasant and negative and, oh, it's so tiring and exhausting, this physical plane. You know, you're not wanting to leave because of that. That's the adolescent. Have you know how adolescents can moan and groan and whine? You were one once, yes? Oh, so dramatic. Oh, gosh. Life is just so boring. Oh, it's just, and my parents are so, oh, they don't understand me. And well, you want to get out of that with God, you know? That's not your relationship with the divine. Unless you want to stay an adolescent forever. But that means more lifetimes. If you want to leave, then embrace this reality as the wonderful creative place it is. Part of why you chose to come on this planet is because there's more species on this planet than most every other planet. It's abundant in creativity. You've got hundreds of thousands of species. Plants and animals, insects. My gosh. Every kind of shape or form. Weird looking creatures. Creatures that look absolutely beautiful and gorgeous. And everything in between. Ugly creatures. Jeez, you'd like, only a mother could love that. Creatures that you can feel their soul. And you identify with them. Power animals used by the shamans. Powerful connections with the animals. Powerful connections with your pets. Profound depth of love for your pets. For your children. For your friends. Yes, this is a time where you can lift out of the planet at the time when you choose to die. And when you say it's a choice, you choose to die. Feeling, my gosh, what a glorious ride life was. What a marvelous world this is. Now, we're not telling you to ignore all the big guys who are polluting, all the mean, vicious politicians, the corporate manipulators, etc., etc. No, don't ignore that. But maybe part of your journey is to create something or to bring in to a vibration to the planet your input, your ideas about how it could be otherwise. To bring your love, to bring connection. Maybe it's because you need some kind of threat to bond with other people. To connect with other people, to bring a groundswell, to stand up in your power and to claim a clean, free planet. Perhaps that's part of your work or part of your vision to put out there that others who may have more physical vitality will do the footwork for, but you are putting the vibrations, you're putting the vision out there to touch people with. Or you're sharing information. Whatever path you choose, it is part of your journey to appreciate the incredible opportunities. Even the opportunities to compete with enemies, quote unquote. The opportunity to resolve very difficult family emotional relationships that were filled with pain and shame. Maybe love can do something here. Maybe you personally have something you would like to heal. It's part of you loving your world. loving everyone in there, loving, even if you didn't vote for the president, love him anyway. Because you can then ask and request your spirit friends, your guides, your angels, whoever it is you work with on the other side, to help him make better decisions and choices. You can stand up and say, hey, pay attention to this. You still have enough freedom in this democracy to do that. If you notice, the whole world is moving towards empowerment. Everywhere, people want more power. They want more freedom. They want more love. The last one of these four to come is trust. But where you are now, dear one, it's time for you to trust. Time for you to trust that the divine plan is going to lift you in celebration homeward when your time is done. Not to take your body with you. There's some ascensionists that, oh, no, we're going to take your physical body into the astral plane. Who wants that? You came to experience physical earth, physical plane, and you took on a physical body. And when you leave earth in grand celebration, why would you take the body with you? You can get a refined body, a light body, way more fun. And as you move upwards through the planes, we've discussed this in other love and healing sessions, you drop off that body. You go next to the astral plane. That's where you go when you die at first. You go first to the astral plane. You are in the astral plane all the time right now, but your focus of attention is in the physical. So when the physical dies, your focus of attention naturally shifts back to the astral plane. And you have an astral body. And then when you grow from there, moving forward, moving onward and upward and back to the astral plane, you drop off the astral plane entirely. You're done with it. You drop off your astral body as well, taking your causal body. And when you're done in the causal plane, moving into the supercausal, to the mental plane, you drop your causal body as your focus moves to the mental plane. At one point, you drop your mental plane. You're done. No more ego. No more anger. No more unresolved anything. Absolute serene, peaceful, loving, joyous, blissful, fantastic. There comes a point when you're ready to complete and return into the divine union. And at the end of the mental plane, as you step out of the mental plane, you step out of this universe. And you fly between your universes, and you see this universe as an egg, a reddish-colored egg you've been living in. You've been focused in. Your conscious mind is focused in this lifetime, in this physical body. And that physical body that you have is just a vehicle to experience this homegoing lifetime. A body that is well constructed to enable you to make your return journey. In a culture where you can find every option you need to make your return journey. And what enables you to make your return journey with the greatest of elegance and happiness? Is to learn the law of love. To apply it in your daily life. Because as you leave this universe, you will look back upon this red egg floating in a grand sky, and you see eggs of other universes with other themes, other possibilities. You didn't choose those. You chose this one. There's green universes, blue-green universes, orange universes, and colors you don't have here, spectrums you don't have here. And then you will enter another vibrational shift and find yourself on what is called the fifth plane, the plane of pure soul, where you reunite with your higher self. You become one with your higher self. Your higher self is the one that decided to come here and split into a whole bunch of lifetimes. So when you leave the last time, all your lifetimes come together into one, and you become that, what some people call your oversoul. It's actually your higher self, the one who knows who you are, knows you're divine, and created this opportunity, this playground for you. For your higher self wanted to learn, who am I? I'm going to explore all these many different facets of me. Each facet coming back, being unique, bright spark in your higher self, one whole with individual sparks. Just as you are a whole and you know you have this particular gift or that particular quirk, you know all your quirks now. You know your tastes, your likes, your dislikes. These are all pieces of your orientation, pieces of you that you can remember at any time. They're all part of you. They're vibrations that make up the whole of you, which is a big conglomerate of vibrations moving, working together in a field of resonance. But when you move to your higher self, it is like all your individual selves, the essences of all of you, merge into the higher self. And your higher self can see all those different pieces just like you see your different aspects. And from there, your higher self, filled with incredible love beyond your capacity, to imagine the love, then journeys into soul, merges with soul, which has many higher selves. You keep coming into more union, and then you merge into what you feel is the divine. But you see, because you have grown up to the divine level, the divine has grown beyond, you will always be growing. You will always be coming more. But here is where the pain is. Here is where the suffering is on physical plane. And here is what you're letting go of. Here is what you're healing through love. Love is the healer. Love is the ultimate healer. So when we talk about love and healing, we're talking about loving your essence. And in loving you, enables your bodies to heal, your life circumstances to improve, those relationships to resolve. That healing is through love. And the more you're willing to love, and the more you're willing to love yourself. Now, we want to point out something. A lot of people say, well, self-love, well, it's really tricky. How do I determine that it's not ego? Because you know ego is not the way home. Because your ego is not, by its nature, loving, really. Your ego doesn't love itself. It continuously feels inadequate and is continuously comparing it, or rather you, with other people. Your ego is insecure. Your ego is like an immature adolescent. When you get the real thrill, the real drenching of love, it's easy. It's easy to tell where's your ego and where are you. Your ego is a faction of you, is an aspect of you. Your ego has a function and you have to have one. Do not try to get rid of your ego. It's a big problem. We knew someone who did that. And he didn't know who he was. Because the ego gives you that sense of distinction between you and others. If you didn't have that distinction, how could you function in relationships? You would simply just go and merge with that person, and you would lose your identity. So as part of your individuation process, it was important for you to have an ego. As far as going home, you don't lose your ego probably until you leave this universe. It just gets cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. It becomes positive. It becomes helpful. All your parts, all your quirks, all your preferences, all your patterns become pure, become clean, totally loving for you and others. And that's your journey. So anytime you feel you have an issue, emotional, physical, any kind of issue, know that the resolution of it will be through love. First, loving yourself. Then loving others who are involved and engaged with you in that issue. And again, defining love from an adult perspective. Just because you love somebody doesn't mean you're a doormat and you put up with bad treatment from them. Just because you love somebody doesn't mean that you have to work really, really hard to please them and do everything for them. Just because you love somebody doesn't mean you have to dance to their tune or you have to force them through manipulation to dance to yours. An adult love has a compassion and an understanding of all life and a respect and awe for all life. Have you ever stopped to think about how complex your physical body is? And your physical body is not as complex as your emotional body or your mental body. It's rather simple compared to that. But how does everything know how to work? You don't say there, okay, heartbeat all day. Your body takes care of it. This body was constructed for you, to house you, to enable you to address your themes and explore this lifetime. So the way back is growing up your love. Growing up love. And as you might expect, love is the pattern of the microcosm and the pattern of the macrocosm are reflective of each other, just as you are given a physical body, and you have seven chakras in the body, seven major chakras. Each chakra representing a theme. Some of you get focused on a chakra in a lifetime, and that was the way the ancients used to go return home. They would come and they would meditate for a lifetime or two or three on just their root chakra. And then they would meditate for a few lifetimes on their second chakra. You know, remember all those jokes about these yogis meditating on their navels, you know? It's like, why are people meditating on their navels? Because they're meditating on that chakra. They're trying to gain the power of that chakra. Well, your whole culture's been going through this too. The first level of love is survival. Me, survive, regardless of the cost, or regardless of the price, or regardless of what I have to do, I'm going to survive. So when a person feels threatened with survival, they will attack, they will manipulate, they will do anything to survive. That's a level of love, very elementary, however. It's just a very basic survival love. It's a love where I've got to feel safe. I've got to survive. I've got to feel safe. And so people go into relationships. The first stage in a relationship is root chakra love. In order for a relationship to develop, you got to have safety. You got to know that it's okay, you can survive, you will survive, and so you got to feel kind of safe with this other person enough to be able to grow a relationship. The second level of love, second chakra, has to do with is a generative, creative, passionate energy. It has to do with the you and the other. It has to do with the bonding with another person. It can be with family. It can be with a lover. To get that bonding. Second level of love. It's them and me against the world. You notice how fiercely parents can protect their children, and that comes from that second chakra love. Protect our family, protect us. Third chakra has to do with looking at the laws of reciprocity. Okay, if I give to you, then you give to me. Okay, we're balanced. That's where you get all the karma stuff, right? But that love is about, okay, this is what should be, and this is how it should be done, and this is how we should organize things, and how we should run society, and how the culture should be, and how we should love each our fellow humans, and what communities we should be part of, and what we should do, and our religion against that religion. But we're a bigger group here. Our culture is better than their culture. So it's expanded. But what you're doing right now is you're coming into an era of a fourth chakra, the law of love rather than the law of the land. You don't legalize, or you don't create laws to control people's behavior anymore in the law of love. You love and you stand in your adult power. And part of what you're going to see in the next few years is an emergence of more and more love around the planet. You, as part of it as well. This fourth chakra, heart love, is love of yourself as the spiritual being that you are, and having compassion, not pity. No impulse to have to take care of everybody, do things for people, or what the rules and all that are about love, but to love. And stay in your power, free as you. Trusting. You're on your way home. Fourth level. That's where you are now. Fifth level takes you beyond physical form. Fifth level is higher will. This is the level of the spiritual teachers. Sixth level has to do with the acknowledgement of your divine identity. Seventh level has to do with emergence of divine union. The inexplicable, unexplainable, ineffable, unimaginable, beyond. You're coming into the fourth level of love, and you came here to bring that fourth level into being.